The truth is that the world is afraid. Unbelievers go on and on about all these different things. They're either overcompensating and trying to build up excitement and get you stoked and YOLO and all this kind of stuff, or they're just screaming bloody murder and terror, worrying the sky is falling, the world's overheating, and these sorts of things because they're scared out of their deranged little minds. But not me. Not you. Not the Christian. We say, God is my salvation. I will trust. And I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. As we read in Isaiah 12:2. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us why it's good that he goes away, and why it's good that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes. And he says the reason it's good that he's going back to the Father, that he's ascending to his Father, is so that the Holy Spirit would come. That's the very reason that it's good that he goes away. He says, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage, Christian, that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me, he says. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And then he says, when the Spirit of truth comes. So let's pause and dwell on that for a little bit. The Spirit of truth. Who is truth? Jesus tells us the answer to this question too, doesn't he? Two chapters before, in John 14, which is also about Jesus going to the Father, ascending to heaven, and sending the Holy Spirit, Thomas asks the Lord. He says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And this is where Jesus answers and says those very famous words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so what did Jesus say here in John 16 in today's gospel reading? When the Spirit of truth comes, what's he saying? When the Spirit of Christ comes, when my Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. That's John 16, 13 to 15. And this is what our focus is on today, because this is why we're not afraid. Christians aren't afraid like our unbelieving neighbors. This is why we're not getting all bent out of shape about the climate crisis or any of this kind of stuff. It's why we declare boldly the words we read in Isaiah 12, verse 2. God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Because Jesus is the truth, and he has said that no one comes to the Father except through him. And you've received his Spirit. He has declared what he has heard. That Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected for you. This is what the Spirit tells you. This is what he guides you into. This is the truth of the matter. You have been baptized into the truth, into Jesus, into his death and into his resurrection. Literally, you are in the way. Not in the way, as if you need to move out of the way. You are in Christ. You are inside the way. You have Jesus. You have his life. You are in him. And so, see you later, fear. Bye-bye, terror. There is nothing to be afraid of. James helps us along in our epistle reading too. He goes on, he says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So the Holy Spirit has come. He's made known the things that are to come, the things that frankly terrify the unbelieving world. We know that the world will come to an end. The Spirit has revealed to us this information. We know that it's entirely pointless to put our hope in all these different things that the world says are good and helpful, that no matter what kind of climate policy could be in place or what kind of procedures are put in place or what kind of distractions you wrap around your heart, your hobbies and your interests and all these little things, all the things that you use to basically to blind you to the fears of life, all the things that they want you to focus on instead of focusing on the fact that one day you will die, that God is your savior from that death, instead of acknowledging God so that you can continue to live in your rejection of him, sinner, and pretend like you're not crap in your pants, afraid. They give you all these things. They act like they're able to fix it, like the sky won't fall if they can build enough supports. But we know that's not true. We know that time will come to an end. The world will have a last day. We know that all the things that terrify them, they're actually good for the Christian. Because guys, you know the way to the Father. You know how to survive that. All the terror, all the hardships and the tribulations and the trials that we go through, we know that they are nothing compared to the glory that awaits. You know the way to where you will live forever, free from the parasite that's eating away at our hearts, that thing we call sin. You know what the escape is, the truth, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has revealed that you have a Savior. He lived some 2,000 years ago, and he lived perfectly under God's good and holy law in your place, because you can't live rightly under that law because you're guilty according to the law. So he lived and he died on the cross as your substitute, taking your place out of love for you, that you would never have to be or even be afraid that this is all there is, this world, this pain, this agony, this heartache, that you'll be like this forever, separated from Christ. That this is it, that there is no salvation, there is no Savior. No, there is. And you will be with Christ and his Father forever in the new world and in the new heavens to come. Physically resurrected to be with your God. The Holy Spirit has glorified Christ, inspiring the apostles and the evangelists, just as he did the prophets before them, to write down for us the way to life. Truth. How did the Holy Spirit put it in Isaiah? He said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Praise be to God. Jesus Christ has done gloriously, valiantly. He resisted temptation to sin all the way through his life, to death on the cross, and in doing so, he secured our passage to where he has gone, to the Father in perfection. And this is precisely why we heard from the Old Testament reading today, from the prophet Isaiah, the very thing that we live out in our baptized and in our communal lives as Christians. The things that the unbelieving world doesn't have. What did we hear? With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, from the baptismal wells of Christ's crucified and resurrected salvation. What a wonderful thing to think about. All the different baptismal fonts in the world, all the different Christian churches where Christians are drawing salvation from these waters, are being drawn out of these waters. The baptismal well here at St. Mark. There's a baptismal well wherever you're at, and over there, and over there, and over there. And they're all connected to Christ's death and resurrection. The wells of salvation. And you will say, in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Guys, we do this. We do this just as the Lord commanded every time we celebrate communion, which is why here at St. Mark, we celebrate it every single week. What are the last sentences in the words of institution? When the bread is consecrated by the pastor and when the wine is blessed, what do we hear? What did Jesus say? This do in remembrance of me. And you'll notice what we say next as well. As often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What are we doing? We're glorifying his exalted name, the things that he's done, his deeds, namely the cross and his resurrection, but all the biblical miracles, all the things that God has done for his people throughout all of human history, culminating in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. So that's not all. We're right now using Divine Service 2 here at church. And what else do we hear? What do we pray during the communion service? Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. It's the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the fulfillment of Isaiah. As we glorify God's deeds, we give thanks for what he has done. The Eucharist in Greek, that's what the word Eucharist means, to give thanks, thanksgiving. Exactly what the Holy Spirit inspired to be written in Isaiah 12. It's great. We give thanks to the Lord. We call upon his name. We make known his deeds among the peoples. All the peoples. Everywhere there's a Christian church in these communities with all these languages and tongues and tribes and nations, all the peoples, the unbelievers around us, we proclaim that his name is holy, exalted. So you ain't kidding. It's exalted. Absolutely it is. Jesus is the holiest of names. As the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write to the Philippians, we know this, right? Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christian, Jesus said it's good that he goes away, that he went away, because in doing so, he sent us his Holy Spirit, and he has. And the Holy Spirit has taken what is Christ, what belongs to him, and he's declared it to us. He's taken the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and proclaimed it to us. It's been preserved for us in the written words of Holy Scripture so that each of us would know the way to life everlasting, the way to escape death, the way to be cleansed from sin in the wells of salvation wherever we are in our churches, the way to evade the devil. And so we hear again, going back to James, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, brothers, by the world, by the unbelievers that would have us ignore truth, have us ignore Jesus, and live like them in denial, but in fear, afraid of everything. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. The things you have, I don't care what they are, material gifts, or emotional joys and happy memories or sad memories. All the good in your life comes from the Father by way of the Son, who gives it to you through the Holy Spirit. And notice I said even the sad memories, because we have our perception of what is good, what we like, what we prefer, but we also know that suffering leads to endurance, and endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. And so even the hardships and the things that we go through that the unbelievers are afraid of, we can go through with our heads held high, bravely, courageously, knowing that even the trials and the tribulations and the hardships, even they are good gifts from above. And so as we think about that, and we think about how we react to what's going on in our life and how we respond, we need to repent. We all need to repent of all the filthiness and the rampant wickedness in our lives. And we need to continue to receive with meekness the implanted word, which, as the Holy Spirit told James, is able to save your souls. Christ died on the cross to ensure you, to ensure that you get the goodness of truth. Get God. And so, coming full circle back again to Isaiah 12, verse 2. But let's actually start with verse 1 and 2. What do we read here? What do we read as redeemed Christians drawn from the baptismal wells of salvation? What are these Holy Spirit helper inspired words of verses 1 and 2? I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Amen.